My father-in-law died 5 years ago in March at 82. And he was a great father-in-law. Man, he could smoke ribs like no one else could. I mean, he was a grill master with brisket, pork butt. I mean, he was a master. And he was a great pawpaw to my kids. And yet the last few years of his life, his world was closing in on him to the point where I realized he no longer recognized who I was or who my children were. He still recognized his daughters and his wife, but his world was changing. And so every chance I got to see him, I would talk with him about the Lord. And what blesses me to this day is the good news that he knew who his Savior was, no matter how his world was disappearing from him. And that's a legacy of faith that continues to bless me. When I was 14 years old, my dad wrote me a letter about how proud he and my mom were of me, confirming my faith, and how important it was for me to keep doing that during the course of my life as I faced challenges and stresses. No one knew that within that year he would be swept to the shores of forever because of the injuries he suffered in World War II. And I read that letter every once in a while, thankful for my dad's faith. I even remember the stories of my great-grandpa up in North Dakota above Highway 2 in the northwestern part of the state as a wheat farmer. And the stories that I heard about him were numerous. He loved to play with his grandkids, although his wife didn't like to at all because she had raised 9 of her own and all of that. But he also sang hymns a lot. And I always thought that was kind of a quaint story until I started realizing the older I got that he sang not because he wanted to for fun. He sang hymns because he needed to stay sane in this troubling world. A legacy of faith. And now it's my turn to share with my family, my friends, and the people that I know and care about what it means to walk with the Lord through the good things and through the challenging times. Even today we hear Paul talk about his remembrance of Timothy's mom and grandmother, Eunice, Mama, and grandmother Lois, and the faith that they had, the sincere faith that Paul was convinced was also in Timothy, a sincere faith. Interesting to hear how it's qualified. In the Greek, it means literally without hypocrisy. It's a real kind of faith, not a fake, airbrushed, nothing to see here, everything is great kind of faith. But yes, I'm struggling, but I'm trusting in the Lord. Yes, these are challenging times, but I'm going with God kind of faith. Yes, I'm a sinner, but I'm so thankful that I'm saved by grace kind of faith. And so Paul reminds Timothy of his legacy of faith. But where did that faith come from? Paul says it this way to the church in Ephesus, "In him, that is God, you also trusted." Paul's writing to the church in Ephesus. "After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." So until they heard the gospel, they did not trust God. Until they heard the gospel, they did not have confidence or faith in God. But when they heard the word of truth, the gospel, they started trusting in God. They started having a confidence in God. They started having a faith in God. Paul goes on, "In whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." That's what changes everything. When the word of truth is heard, namely the gospel, that God sent his Son into the world to rescue sinners from themselves, to rescue sinners from the devil and the unbelieving world, and making them his own. That changes everything. If you find yourself struggling with people in your home, or maybe your extended friendship, and you just want to shake them, how about just sharing the gospel with them? Because it's the gospel that changes hearts. It's the gospel that warms hearts. It's the gospel, the word of truth, that God loves rebels, that God loves sinners, that God loves the people out of step and is patient with them, that changes lives, that places within them a treasure. Luther says it this way in the Small Catechism explaining the third article of the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints. Luther explains it this way, I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gift, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. The work of the Holy Spirit. Our meditation this morning is titled, Spirit Born and Spirit Kept Faith. This is the treasure that God has placed within you and me, within us and all believers who have heard the gospel and hold on to it and trust it. I mean, it's an amazing reading, our epistle reading today. I mean, the Bible is always an amazing read. But this epistle reading is powerful. Paul, and I'm just cutting into the chase of his long sentence here, but in verse 9, Paul is talking about what has happened to us and all believers. Talking about God who saved us and called us to a holy calling. Not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace which he gave us in Christ Jesus. Now get this, before the ages began, the treasure that God has placed into your life and my life, into our hearts and minds, was intended by God before anything existed. He saw that in you and me and wanted to give it to us. And we have it because of Jesus. What a treasure you and I have. Of course, we hear Paul say, guard and keep or obey. And that's where it gets to be challenging. This tremendous treasure that God has placed into your life and my life is not easy to handle. The challenges of our lives, the difficulties that come our way. I mean, where are you hurting? Where does it make no earthly sense? Where do you find yourself just fed up and thinking like Habakkuk, what's the use? Where is it at in your life? Paul's solution? What he said to Timothy. We need to hear the same thing. Of course, I don't see anyone crying here. But where does it hurt? Paul says, I recall your tears. So stir into flame. Fan into flame. Here's how he says it. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And then, of course, Paul says, that's why I'm not ashamed. And that's why I'm enduring what I'm enduring. Because it's worth fanning into flame. Paul was a seasoned veteran at it. Timothy, not so much. And he needed to learn how to speak the truth of God's gospel to the struggles in his life. Where do you need to do that right now? Where do you need to speak words of faith to life's struggles? I mean, there's plenty of people speaking doubt and disbelief, words of despair. Those are all patterns of words as well, but they do not help us. Rather, they hurt us. But Paul says to Timothy, guard. guard the good deposit entrusted to you. The pattern of good words that I've given to you, that I've spoken. So we need to speak words of faith to the challenges of our lives. We need to speak the name of Jesus over our children or our grandchildren. We need to let them know that the struggles that they're going through can be used by God to bless them. They're opportunities to grow in the Lord. They might look at us a bit strange. But we are to do what Paul said to Timothy. We can speak words of faith to the challenges where it hurts in your life and my life. The Lord is bigger than this. The Lord can help me through this. I will see this conquered. I mean, speak those kinds of things to the challenges you see. Why is this so important? Because the voices of despair are heard every day in all kinds of ways across all kinds of things. Paul says, follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me in faith and love that are in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Guard the good deposit. We know those words. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I am more than a victor. When I am weak, then I am strong. You know, why in the world do you even have a pastor preaching to you Sunday after Sunday? So that you can take some of this stuff and apply it to where it hurts. As I apply it in my life, where it hurts in me. As I apply it in the lives of the people I have the privilege to touch. It's part of my legacy of faith. It's part of your legacy of faith. It gives them things to remember about us. Maybe, in some ways, how weird we were at times. How optimistic we were at times when it made no earthly sense. I'm sure the Apostle Paul sounded to Timothy at times like a nut. But it was Timothy who took to heart what Paul had to say. Just like we are to take to heart what Paul has to say. God has established in us faith. He has given us a tremendous treasure to speak to the challenges of our lives. In fact, to even talk with God about. So the people, places, and things in your life and my life that are near to us and dear to us, where we find ourselves feeling so helpless and hopeless in accomplishing anything with, we need to talk with God about. So talk with the Lord. Speak to the Lord about the things that you're dealing with. Speak words of truth to those things with God. God, I can't handle this. God, this is more than I can handle. That's sincere faith in action. God, I feel like giving up. What am I supposed to do? That's sincere faith in action. But I know you've got this, God. Even if it's too much for me, that's what sincere faith looks like. In fact, praying for people, places, and things. You can even pray for your phones or for your computers. I found this prayer this week. It's the motherboard prayer. Really, it is. Dear Lord, every single evening as I'm lying in my bed, this tiny little prayer runs through my head. God bless my mom and dad and other family too. Keep them warm and safe from harm, for they are close to you. And God, there is one more little thing that I'd like you to do. Would you be willing to bless my computer too? Now I know that it's not normal to bless a motherboard, but listen just a second while I explain it to you, Lord. You see, that little box holds more than odds and ends. Inside that little gadget rests so many of my friends. I know so much about them by the kindness that they give, and this little scrap of metal takes me to the place they live. By faith is how I know them. They are all gifts from you. We share in what life brings us, and in you we grow true. Please take this extra minute from your duties up above to bless those in my address book that's filled with so much love. Wherever else this prayer may reach to each and every friend, bless us, Lord, most holy, until we reach our end. When you update your heavenly list on your own CD-ROM, remember each who've said this prayer sent up to God.com. You know, praying for one another is one of the most important legacies of faith that we leave. And it's fascinating to me how often in Paul's letters that not only does he say, I'm praying for you, but then he explains how he's praying for them. I mean, isn't that a little too much? No, not when you really care about people. So when you tell people you're praying for them, let them know how you're praying for them. Let them know that you're stopping by in your mind's eye where they're at to say a little prayer. That's faith, speaking words to life's struggles, not only for ourselves, but for the people that we love and care about. That's what it's all about. That's part of our purpose that God has designed for us to carry out. But there's more to this. So God has established a treasure in us by the gospel and the work of the Holy Spirit. But Paul, encouraging Timothy to keep the faith, to, quote, guard the good deposit entrusted to you, end quote, that treasure that God has given to us, that is the gospel. That sounds a little ominous, but we can do it by the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. The Holy Spirit at work to keep us in the faith, to give us the ability to share the treasures that God has given to us that are unlike anything and everything else that we have. And we can do that by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. But I want us to think about that a little bit more, that dwells in us. When you bought your home, did you just leave it empty? Oh, you put a bed in it, maybe. No pictures, no nothing that kind of reminds you of special things? Did you leave it sterile and cold? Or did you unpack things and before you knew it exploded in all kinds of clutter everywhere? That's you. I mean, what does your home look like? Does it look a lot like you and what you enjoy and what you cherish and hold true, take comfort in? So who is making your house his home? The Holy Spirit. Who's decorating your life in ways? Maybe throwing out some stuff, much to your chagrin, but, you know, you think about it and you think, okay, Lord, I guess that's okay to do that. But who's at work making you his dwelling place? Decorating it with the treasures that God has given to us through his Son? Well, the answer is the Holy Spirit. So that your life can be a legacy of faith as well, where you learn to share what God has placed in you with those whose lives you touch. That's a legacy of faith. And to the people around you, let them see what it means to be the treasure keepers of what God has given to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds. In Christ Jesus, amen.